A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists in their own words. On Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Part 3. Scientist number 6. Quote, "We now know that the hockey stick graph is fraudulent." Unquote. Dr. Michael R. Fox, Ph.D., 1936 to 2011. Nuclear scientist, professor of chemistry at Idaho State University, and researcher at the National Engineering Laboratory. Chairman of the American Nuclear Society's Public Information Committee. In 2008, in evidence submitted to the Environmental Protection Agency, Dr. Fox said the following, quote, "The hockey stick is a name given to a graph of reconstructed temperature data. The handle of the hockey stick graph is intended to portray rather flat, constant global temperatures extending from about 1000 AD to about 1900. At this time, the global temperatures turn sharply upward, indicating the blade. The overall message was that after about a 900-year period of constant temperatures, the global temperatures rose sharply upward beginning around 1900, allegedly. This is often assumed to be the beginning of the Industrial Age, and therefore the presumed beginning of significant man-made CO2 emissions. This is incorrect. This hockey stick graph has been featured prominently and globally in a major scientific journal. It has been given pivotal importance in several of the IPCC assessment reports and featured prominently in Al Gore's documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, which now is discredited too." Mark, this section of Dr. Fox's remarks is a useful précis of how the hockey stick was wafted up on an ever wider circles of deceit. Quote, "It is useful to list some of the approval processes which led to this global deception. The authors, scientists themselves, obviously approved of their own creation. The peer reviewers assigned by the Science Journal approved it, the editors of the Science Journal who reviewed, checked, and approved it, and the reviewers of the IPCC reports, the editors of the IPCC documents. The producers of Gore's documentary approved it, presumably Mr. Gore himself, and the thousands of school teachers around the world who required millions of students to view and analyze it. The extent of global fear inspired by the educational systems around the world is incalculable. We now know that the hockey stick graph is fraudulent. How should we treat those who approved it? What should the EPA do now, proposing to adopt rulemaking for CO2 mitigation? To do so, they must embrace the underlying fraudulent science and the terrible harm it will bring. EPA action seems simple. Do not proceed with the rulemaking for greenhouse gas mitigation. Have the courage not to mitigate man-made CO2 and avoid joining with the scientific deceptions. Close analysis of the hockey stick scandal are essential for policymakers, educators, media, and many scientific institutions and their PhD staffers. All of them played a role in creating and/or spreading the deceptions. It has shaken the pillars of institutional science to its foundation and undermined the public trust science once had. We are either dealing with willful scientific deceptions or woeful and lazy scientific mediocrity from PhDs themselves." Unquote. Scientist number 7. Quote, "Man's hockey stick has indeed been substantively discredited." Unquote. Dr. Hamish Campbell, Ph.D., geologist and paleontologist with New Zealand's Institute of Geological and Nuclear Sciences, GNS Science, and scientist in residence at Te Papa Tongaroa, the National Museum of New Zealand. Former president of the New Zealand Association of Scientists, companion of the Royal Society of New Zealand, and member of the Geological Society of New Zealand. Mark. Once the hockey stick had been taken up by the IPCC and Al Gore, it departed, as Professor Marcel LaRue said, the realm of science, and became an instrument of propaganda, and one so effective that politicians, activists, and alas, even schoolteachers were reluctant to abandon it. Visiting Te Papa, New Zealand's National Museum, in November 2011, the writer Tony Thomas was surprised to see, prominently displayed, a large blown-up copy of Man's Stick. His concerns were brought to the attention of Dr. Campbell, who responded, quote, "You are perfectly correct. Man's hockey stick has indeed been substantively discredited. I remember at the time of helping to design the exhibit that I was very uncomfortable with so-called predictions based on models of an inherently chaotic system that surely were a far cry from any representative simulation of nature." However, part of Te Papa's role function is to provoke or stimulate thought. I let it go with a proviso that the graph was properly referenced. And it is, unquote. Dr. Campbell conceded that, hockey-wise, it was no longer 2001. Quote, "Things have changed, and we at Te Papa have not made any effort to respond to those changes. Now is the time to do so. We shall revisit this exhibit in the next few weeks and see what we can do." Unquote. Mark. With his graph assiduously promoted to every corner of the earth, man's self-regard shot up as dramatically as his hockey stick. One of the most bizarre aspects of his personality is his apparent belief that he is a Nobel laureate. As boldly declared in his press materials, his book jackets, and even in the court filings of his current libel suit, where he accuses the defendants of the hitherto unknown crime of defamation of a Nobel Prize recipient. So what Nobel Prize did Michael Mann win? What happened is that in 2007, Al Gore and the IPCC were jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Mann was one of thousands of contributors to IPCC reports over the years, but he genuinely seems to think that his association with the organization entitles him to market himself as a Nobel Prize winner. And not just of a crappy old Peace Prize like Gore and Yasser Arafat, but by implication one of the real ones. For science. So what does a genuine Nobel laureate make of the work of a fake Nobel laureate? We shall hear from one over the page. Scientist number 8. Quote, "We come to the hockey stick graph, the emperor's new clothes." Unquote. Professor Ivar Giaver, Ph.D., winner of the 1973 Nobel Prize in Physics with Leo Osaki and Brian Josephson, for their discoveries regarding tunneling phenomena in solids. Professor at large at the University of Oslo and Professor Emeritus at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Recipient of the Oliver E. Buckley Condensed Matter Prize from the American Physical Society and the Zworykin Award from the National Academy of Engineering. Member of the Norwegian Academy of Science and Letters. Since 1951, Nobel laureates have gathered in the German town of Lindau each year to share their thoughts on various issues. Mann does not get to attend those meetings because, despite his apparently indestructible belief to the contrary, he has not won a Nobel Prize, and so is ineligible. But Dr. Giaver does, and at the 2012 meeting, he said the following, quote, "I am not really terribly interested in global warming. Like most physicists, I really don't think much about it. But in 2008, I was on a panel here about global warming, and I had to learn something about it, and I spent a day or so, half a day maybe, on Google. And I was horrified by what I learned. Global warming has become a new religion, because you can't discuss it. And that's not right. Pseudoscience is a very strange thing, because in pseudoscience, you begin with a hypothesis which is very appealing to you. And then you only look for things which confirm the hypothesis. You don't look for other things which confirm the hypothesis. You don't look for other things. And so the question then is, global warming a pseudoscience? We come to the hockey stick graph, which the previous speaker showed in a little different manner. And I have to say, I have to rely on H.C. Andersen and the Emperor's New Clothes. The little boy was innocent. He didn't see that the emperor had clothes on. And I am the little boy here. I don't see that the CO2 is the cause of all these problems. Unquote. Mark. But if you believe the stick, then the matter of the emperor's splendid robes is, as they say, settled, and so settled that it is beyond debate. Professor Giaver was one of the most distinguished members of the American Physical Society, but he did not want to be told that hockey stick pseudoscience cannot be questioned. Quote, as you heard, I resigned from the American Physical Society because of this statement. The evidence is incontrovertible. The American Physical Society discussed the mass of the proton. The mass of the proton is not incontrovertible, but the global warming is. See, that's a religion. That's a religious statement, like the Catholic Church says the Earth is not round, and the American Physical Society says that the global warming occurs. I mean, that's a terrible thing. So I resigned from the Physical Society, and I hope I can get one or two of you to resign as well. In the last 150 years, the Earth has got warmer, according to these people. But the human health has got better. The social system is better. Everything is better. The Earth is much better now than it was 150 years ago. Why is it suddenly getting, quote-unquote, worse? Close quote. Scientist number 9. Quote, Michael Mann, Phil Jones, and Stefan Rahmstorf should be barred because the scientific assessments in which they may take part are not credible anymore. Unquote. Dr. Eduardo Zurita, Ph.D., senior scientist at the Institute for Coastal Research in Germany, former head of the Department of Paleoclimate at the GKSS Research Center, an associate researcher at the Laboratory of Dynamic Oceanography and Climatology at Pierre and Marie Curie University, author of peer-reviewed papers published in Science, Nature, Climate Change, the Holocene, the Journal of Climate and other journals, and member of the editorial boards of Climate Change, Climate of the Past, and Climate Research, IPCC contributing author. From Mark. If global warming is, as Dr. Giaver says, a religion, then man is the world's least infallible pontiff. After Stephen McIntyre and Ross McKittrick's attempt to reproduce the hockey stick and man's refusal to release his data, and two major investigations that found severe problems with his methods, it was still just about possible to believe that the creator of the hockey stick was an ethical scientist who was simply in way over his head. The release of the ClimateGate emails in November 2009 made the theory that man was a naff with a propensity for major errors harder to credit. The correspondence exposed a malevolent clique at the highest levels of climate science determined to prevent any dissenters getting a foot in the door. Perhaps the most obvious question after at ClimateGate is why anybody still pays any attention to these guys. On November 27th, Dr. Zurita wrote on the GKSS website a piece with an arresting headline, quote, Why I think that Michael Mann, Phil Jones, and Stefan Rahmstorf should be barred from the IPCC process. Short answer, because the scientific assessments in which they may take part are not credible anymore. These words do not mean that I think anthropogenic climate change is a hoax. On the contrary, it is a question which we have to be very well aware of. But I am also aware that in this thick atmosphere, and I am not speaking of greenhouse gases now, editors, reviewers, and authors of alternative studies, analysis, interpretations, even based on the same data we have at our disposal, have been bullied and subtly blackmailed. In this atmosphere, PhD students are often tempted to tweak their data so as to fit the politically correct picture. Some, or many, issues about climate change are still not well known. Policymakers should be made aware of the attempts to hide these uncertainties under a unified picture. I had the, quote-unquote, pleasure to experience all this in my area of research. Unquote. Dr. Zurita had eschewed the pleasure of the hockey team as best as he could. In 2005, he co-wrote a piece for Nature called The Decay of the Hockey Stick. Decaying, maybe, but like a gay 90s boulevardier with advanced syphilis, it staggered on. Scientist number 10. Quote, if we mistakenly took the hockey stick seriously, unquote. Professor Richard Muller, Ph.D., professor emeritus in the Department of Physics at the University of California at Berkeley, and faculty senior scientist at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory and Institute for Nuclear and Particle Astrophysics, founder of the Berkeley Earth Surface Temperature Project, co-creator of accelerator mass spectrometry, and one of the first scientists to measure anisotropy in the cosmic microwave background. proponent of the Nemesis hypothesis, which argues that the Sun could have a so far undetected dwarf star, recipient of the Alan T. Waterman Award from the National Science Foundation. From Mark. For many years, Richard Muller was a columnist for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Technology Review. He was one of the first to recognize that McIntyre and McKittrick had dealt the hockey stick's credibility a fatal blow. In his column of October 15, 2004, Professor Muller wrote with remarkable prescience, quote, "If you are concerned about global warming, as I am, and think that human-created carbon dioxide may contribute, as I do, then you still should agree that we are much better off having broken the hockey stick. Misinformation can do real harm because it distorts predictions. Suppose, for example, that future measurements in the years 2005 to 2015 show a clear and distinct global cooling trend. It could happen. If we mistakenly took the hockey stick seriously, that is, if we believed that natural fluctuations in climate are small, then we might conclude, mistakenly, that the cooling could not be just a random fluctuation on top of a long-term warming trend, since, according to the hockey stick, such fluctuations are negligible. And that might lead in turn to the mistaken conclusion that global warming predictions are a lot of hooey. If, on the other hand, we reject the hockey stick and recognize that natural fluctuations can be large, then we will not be misled by a few years of random cooling. A phony hockey stick is more dangerous than a broken one. If we know it is broken, it is our responsibility as scientists to look at the data in an unbiased way and draw whatever conclusions follow. When we discover a mistake, we admit it." Close quote. Mark. As noted above, that column was amazingly prescient. In the years that followed, there was indeed a pause in global warming, which the climate change industry has struggled to explain precisely because it chose not to reject the hockey stick. And as a result, has it hanging round its neck, rotten and maggot-ridden, like the ancient mariner's albatross. What Professor Muller could not have foreseen was that hockey stick science was not just phony, but corrupt. 6 years later, he wrote, quote, "What they did was," and there's a quote, "let's use Mike's trick to hide the decline." Mike, who's Michael Mann, said, "Hey, trick just means mathematical trick, that's all. My response is, I'm not worried about the word trick. I am worried about the decline." What they did is they took the data from 1961 onward from this peak and erased it. The justification would not have survived peer review in any journal that I'm willing to publish in, but they had it well hidden and they erased that. Frankly, as a scientist, I now have a list of people whose papers I won't read anymore. You're not allowed to do this in science. Close quote. Chapter 2. Man of the Past. One tree ring to rule them all. Quote, "It is difficult to avoid the impression that the IPCC uncritically accepted scientific work that repealed the medieval warm period and the Little Ice Age, because these two well-known features of the climate record placed global warming theory in doubt, at least for the global public." Close quote. Dr. Jeffrey E. Foss, Ph.D., Beyond Environmentalism, A Philosophy of Nature, 2009. Here's Mark. The hockey stick is what's known as a proxy reconstruction. There's only two things wrong with it, the proxies and the reconstruction. Other than that, you can take it to the bank. First, the proxies. The hockey stick is generally believed to show global, actually northern hemisphere, temperatures for the last millennium. But man does not, in fact, have any temperature readings for, say, the year 1143. That's because your average medieval peasant village did not have a weather station. And neither Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit nor Anders Celsius had yet been born. So man has to divine his 12th century thermometer readings from, quote-unquote, proxy data. What is a proxy? Well, it's something like an ocean coral or an ice core or some lake sediment from which one can, quote-unquote, reconstruct the temperature history. In man's case, it was mostly tree rings. Much of the world isn't terribly forested, and most of the parts that are can't tell you the temperature for 1143. For a shot at that, you need a 1,000-year-old tree, and there are only a few of those around here and there, in Siberia, in parts of Canada, in California. That was his first mistake. His proxy reconstruction uses the wrong proxy. To a kid, a tree ring is simple. Jack counts in and finds out whether his tree is older than Jill's. But if you're trying to figure out the temperature, it's more fraught. The original hockey stick graph figured strongly in the IPCC 2000. Professor Anthony Trewavis told the British House of Commons, quote, "But it is an artifice. The size of the tree ring is determined by everything that affects all aspects of plant development. These are soil nutrients and structures, light variations, carbon dioxide, competition from other trees, disease, predators, age, rainfall, previous developmental activity, as well as temperature. Temperature, for which it supposedly acts as a proxy, is just one contributor amongst many, and of course reflects local conditions only. Man's hockey stick failed." Close quote. He continued because, quote-unquote, tree rings on their own are not a reliable proxy. Mark. Oddly enough, boreholes and other proxies disagree with tree rings when it comes to the temperature record. Man had a few alternative proxies in his mix, but just as soupçons, so he could claim to have included them if anybody asked. And then he further refined the process. Having chosen the wrong proxy, trees, he took the additional precaution of using the wrong kind of tree. Those ones in the American West, for example, are bristlecone pines. They're certainly old. There's a bristlecone pine in California's White Mountains that has been precisely dated 5,064 years old in 2015 and is believed to be the oldest tree on Earth. Unfortunately, the guys who know bristlecones, including the very scientist who collected the data man used, say they're unreliable as thermometers. Those California bristlecones are sensitive to higher atmospheric CO2 concentration, regardless of whether the temperature is going up or down. Man knew this. As Hans Aaron observed, man's North American trees did not match the North American temperature record. Yet he decided that, even if they couldn't reliably tell you the temperature for the bit of sod they were planted in, they could reliably tell you the temperature for the entire Northern Hemisphere. Even the National Research Council of the National Academy of Sciences bristled at the cones. Quote, "For the earliest part of the 1999 analysis, Mr. Mann's group relied heavily on bristlecone pines from western North America. The original study noted that there were some difficulties in using such trees because of peculiarities in their recent growth. But Mr. Mann and his group attempted to quantify those problems and to work around them. The National Research Council suggested that researchers avoid using trees that are the most difficult to interpret." Unquote. The NRC can suggest all they want. For years, Mann and his hockey team continued to rely on bristlecones as fail-safe tree-mometers. Yet, even when you decide to apply the wrong example of the wrong proxy to the wrong part of the planet, repealing the medieval warm period is harder than you think. So Mann additionally decided to apply the wrong weighting to his wrong example of the wrong proxy to the wrong part of the planet, by giving tree ring data that produced a hockey stick curve over 300 times the value of tree ring data that didn't. Wrong proxy, wrong tree, wrong location. But what else do we need? Ah, yes, the wrong method. Put aside the bristlecones in MBH-98 and man's hockey stick curve for the entire Northern Hemisphere up to 1421 comes from just one tree. And from thereafter to 1447, from just two trees, both from Quebec's Gaspé Peninsula. And from 1400 to 1403, from zero trees. He just extrapolated the 1404 reading. By contrast, reputable dendrochronologists won't use datasets with fewer than five trees, on the grounds that one or two, never mind zero trees, might not be that representative. But man did. And then he made them even more mega-representative by double-counting that pair of Gaspé trees in two separate data sets. And suddenly, you can't see the little ice age, or the medieval warm period for the trees or tree. Wrong proxy, wrong tree, wrong location, wrong method equals right answer. LIAMIAMWPRIP. We will hear more from the scientist on this in the next episode.